We've just begun a new series here at Oceanside Community Church called Breath to Death, Experiencing God in Life Seasons. And our title today is The God of Birth and New Birth. Today I'm going to share in a bit of a testimony format, but I pray my experiences point not to me, but to the God who delivers us, who carries us through suffering, and who rejoices over every birth and new birth. I do want to begin really carefully by saying that I know the subject of birth can bring up some really difficult feelings for some people. People who have longed for children, people whose children are gone, people who have experienced infertility, which is one out of every six couples here in Canada, people who have experienced a miscarriage, which is one out of every four pregnancies, really common, stillbirth or abortion, or possibly even a traumatic experience during labor. If you feel stuck in your pain, I really want you to know that God is not finished comforting you. He's not finished healing you. There's no expiry date on God's power and his help in your life, even if it's been years. If you feel alone in your pain, the truth of Scripture is that we as a community are called to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. So I'd like to admonish all of you as you start to get to know each other better, and especially in life groups, to be brave, and to share your pain. I'd also like to encourage you, as you hear from others these stories, as others share their heartache with you, to listen well, to avoid the pat answers that make us feel better but actually deepen the wound, to avoid the temptation to feel like we have to solve people's issues, to be present, and to commit their situation to prayer, to the God who heals. I don't want to go any further today without recommending this incredible book called Great with Child by Deborah Rienstra. I won't specifically be quoting from it today, but it is by far, if you're interested in the subject of birth at all, it's by far the very best theological reflection I have ever read, and it's a delight to read. It's very deep, very thoughtful. Overall, she's just an incredible woman, so talk to me if you're interested in this book. Let's pray as we begin. Our good Father, you have a gift for each of us today, a gift from your word. It might be a reminder about our own birth. It might be a new way to pray for those approaching birth. It might be an idea for caring for someone else, a truth to help someone move forward with what they're facing, or help someone prepare to give birth. Let us receive from you, Lord. Amen. So if you have a bulletin, you can see on the back there are three parts to this sermon today. And in each part, we will begin with Scripture, and we'll read together today. We'll do the reading together. In each section, I will then continue by sharing from my experiences to help testify to these truths. So we won't stand at this point, but let's take turns reading aloud here. Ella, we're at Psalm 40. You all will read together the bold, and I'll read the normal print. So Psalm 40. So you can start together. Blessed. Who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. None can compare with you. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. But as for me, I am poor and needy. You are my help and my deliverer. Thanks for reading with me. So there are so many things to love about this psalm. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, not in people, not in false gods. We wait patiently for him, and he hears our cry. And then there's this affirmation of the many wonders he has done. The writer says, I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to speak to you of God's faithfulness in the context of the births that I've experienced. And then it closes this way. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. Joseph and Lydia have mentioned recently a few times about using short prayers throughout the day. And that would be a great one. It's very appropriate for pregnancy, for birth, for early parenting. It applies very solidly to what might be the biggest trial of early parenting, which is loss of sleep, a kind of torture, to all of parenting and really to all of life. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. So my first point here is that God delivers us. And I want to share with you God's deliverance of me as the mother going through birth, as well as the truth that it is God who delivers children as they are being born. So just a few snapshots here, testimonies, vignettes of God's deliverance. So the night I went into labor with our middle child, Amos, Joseph's mom, Kathy, was visiting us, and she was going to be staying to take care of Anya, our oldest daughter. The contractions got intense really fast, and any of you might know that intense is a bit of a euphemism here. Before we left for the hospital, Kathy prayed for us. And she had this picture from the Lord, just a vision of Jesus holding up my very large belly with his hands and then letting go at the right time, just taking them away at the right time. And we really took that to mean a promise that the baby would come in his timing, and that in this case, the labor would be quick. So we left for the Nanaimo Hospital at 1:30 a.m., and the contractions were getting more and more intense, if you will, and I was yelling, "Jesus, help me!" during each one, as Joseph very carefully sped down the quiet highway to Nanaimo. The midwives checked me when we arrived, and I was already pretty far along. And during the rest of labor, my prayer continued to be, "Jesus, help me!" And my poor midwife, she was really uncomfortable with the way I kept saying that. And she countered with, "You can do this. Your body can do this." In other words, you don't need outside help. Interestingly, side note, just as I was writing this sermon in a coffee shop, just as I was writing this part, I was overhearing bits of this really interesting conversation where a woman was telling her friend that she stopped going to church because "I don't need God's help." Just interesting timing here. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud. My midwife was partly right. My body definitely could get through labor because God made it. God designed it. He was sustaining and empowering it to fulfill his purposes. So I yelled a lot. I cried to Jesus. I tried to follow breathing instructions. But I was coping well. I was resting between contractions. I was scared, but I never felt like I was unsafe or out of control. The birth, maybe as promised by that vision, was fast and furious, and our beautiful big boy was born at 3 in the morning, just over an hour after we had arrived at the hospital. So we gave him the name we had decided on, which is Amos, which means carried by God. God delivers us. My labor with Junia, our youngest, was totally different. This might sound counterintuitive. You might think as you get through a few kids, maybe labor starts to seem less scary. But actually, that's not true at all. I was much more afraid as I approached this birth than the others. They say that your body doesn't remember what birth felt like, and that's mostly true. Otherwise, we wouldn't keep doing it. But Ellie and I were just talking about how once your body enters early labor again, your body says, "Oh, I remember this," and it can be really scary. So when I went into labor with Junia, the fear was really powerful, both during the evening as I labored at home, through the night as I labored through the night, and then in the morning at the hospital the following day. But I'll forever be grateful for the help that the Lord gave me through my doula, Melanie, a spirit-filled believer, just an incredible woman all around. It's well known in the birthing world that fear during labor often increases the difficulty of the work and even of the pain. So Melanie knew that this fear had to be dealt with, and she took authority over the situation. She began praying earnestly for me. She was praying in tongues. She was playing worship music in the room, songs like, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. He will deliver me." And I can vividly remember just how my fear broke, and I was releasing it to God through my tears, It was this very powerful experience of surrendering to God's perfect love that casts out fear. It was kind of like being at an altar call, for those of you who've experienced that before, just pouring out my tears before God, right in the hospital room. And I love this moment when our midwife, who's lovely but just really new agey, she's so funny, but she was doing her computer work and she was charting, and she kind of looked over, she goes, "It's really good in here." We're like, "Yes, it is. God's here." So I was still fighting fear all the way through. It wasn't completely gone, but it had lost its power. And there were more moments of God's power and help in that labor. As the psalm says, "Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. You are God. None can compare with you." The labor was not as quick as Amos's, but the Lord brought me through, delivered me, and delivered Junia with great power and love. Psalm 71:6 says, "From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you." We're going to switch gears here and take a minute now to pray for a beautiful woman, a couple who's expecting a baby. And you guys can come up. So we're going to pray for Leah and Josh. She's in her third trimester. She's due January 1st on New Year's Day. And any family who would like to come up, any family of God who would like to come pray for them, I'll make you stand up here just to be annoying so people can see you. One of our traditions that we like to do as a church is we like to pray for women as they're approaching labor and pray that the Lord would be present. So you can come up if you want. If not, just stretch out your hands and we're just going to pray for them. So Lord, we pray for Leah in these final days of her pregnancy. We pray for the health of this little baby. Let her body continue to nourish this baby and let him or her grow well. We pray for Leah's health as she's had some various issues. We pray that you'd heal her and you'd strengthen her and her body, her soul, her mind, her spirit. Lord, we pray for a good birthing place with skilled attendants who will take care of her with wisdom and compassion. We pray that she, like the Hebrew women in Exodus, she would progress well. She would be strong and vigorous in labor. Lord, we know that labor is hard work, but with you, it does not have to overpower us. So we pray that the cycle of fear and pain would be broken, that Leah can rest in your love. Trusting you, Lord, guide this little one safely out of her mother's womb and into her arms without any distress. Lord, we pray for the bonding between the mother and the baby and the dad, Josh. For the breastfeeding relationship, Lord, that it would be established easily. We pray for rest for Leah after the birth to allow for sufficient recovery, Lord. Give her your energy and your power as she carries this baby, as she gives birth through this baby, as they care for this baby together in the early challenging weeks. They can do everything, Lord, through you who give them strength. Lord, may Leah and Josh trust you. They would release fear and they would release control to you. You, our deliverer, would you deliver this life into our world? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to continue with our second scripture reading. So Ella, that's Romans 8. And again, if I will read the not bold, or the white, I guess, is probably a better way to say it, and you'll read the blue. So Romans 8, 18 through 23. Paul says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Thanks. So another vignette here, a testimony to the God who carries us. When Anya, our first daughter, was one, I found myself pregnant again. And it was really a magical time. I had a hunch pretty early on, as women often do. And when I officially confirmed that hunch with a test, I was delighted. Joseph's brother and sister-in-law were in town then, and I wanted to tell Joseph and them in a memorable way. So we were at this gorgeous restaurant in Whistler. We were sitting outside in the patio in the sun, and the server came to take our order. So I ordered the chicken wings and the ahi tuna appetizer and the shrimp pasta and a green salad and a bacon cheeseburger and the yam fries, about 10 other things, and they all stared at me. And I said, I'm eating for two. So there was so much joy and so much laughter. Really, the announcement of a new life can be some of the best news in the world. We continued on with our lives, the tiredness, other parts of early pregnancy that are not very fun. And then we had our first ultrasound, and they told us there was no heartbeat, and the baby had died a couple weeks earlier. And everything just ground to a halt. Apparently, we had what is often called a missed miscarriage, where the baby has died, and your body just keeps going like nothing has happened. My body didn't recognize that the baby was no longer alive, so it kept going as if I was still pregnant. And it just kept on going for several weeks. The waiting and the waiting, the grieving while I still looked very pregnant. And finally, labor began. So if you're unfamiliar, miscarriage is like a small version of labor. And that did bring some closure, even though my body was still recovering months later. I know many of you have been through this. I know that many of you have been through this multiple times. And many of you have been through worse. And you'll know that the first question we ask when we're suffering is often, why? And it's just not an easy question to answer. It's sometimes impossible to say, except that we know we live in a broken world. We know that the effects of sin and death are so often present in our lives. So we listen to how creation is described in Romans 8. Creation is waiting. Creation is suffering. Creation is experiencing frustration. Creation is trapped in decay because of sin. And listen to this. Creation is groaning as in the pains of childbirth, which, as we have established, are pretty serious. All of us live in a world of sin and death, and it's not even always our own sin that affects us. It's just the general fallen state of our world that needs to be redeemed. So it's just not an easy question. Why? Why is this happening? But I do want to write off one answer that is often given that is not biblical, and that is, God decided to take this child. So again, side note, as I was writing that morning in the coffee shop, again, the same woman said exactly that regarding someone she loved who had died too soon. She'd just been through this tragic death of someone she loved. And she said, I guess God needed another angel. And that's just not biblical. It's not in the nature of God. It is wrong. I can't emphasize that enough. It's important to understand these things properly because what we believe affects how we live. And this woman, I feel for her because it's very likely that the bitterness she expressed earlier about not needing God's help is connected to this sense that she's been given somewhere that God was the author of her tragedy, that God was the one who took things away from her, who took people away from her. God is not the author of evil. What the Bible does say about God is that he brings good out of evil, that he ultimately will make everything right. Romans says that glory will be revealed in us, and the whole world will experience the freedom and glory of the children of God. Our very bodies will be redeemed. By the resurrection power of Jesus, every tear will be wiped away from our eyes in the new creation. The griefs and the pains we have suffered in this life will be healed. And our relationships, even with children gone too soon, will be restored. We have that hope to look forward to. So we often ask why. But our other question we ask is how? How am I going to get through this? And the answer is hard and simple. God carries us through. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In fact, you prepare a table before me. You Make my cup to overflow, even in the midst of my suffering. So on our journey, on this journey of miscarriage, God's grace was so evident. He kept us from despair and bitterness, even as we were sad and grieving. And there were small graces along the way. There were spots of light in the darkness. We still cling to the joy of those first moments of being pregnant. The loss doesn't take away the joy. And the Lord really helped us with that really hard waiting part. We had the option of medical intervention, but it didn't end up being necessary. And he held us through those tough weeks when I was pregnant, but not, waiting for resolution. He gave us this peace and this comfort. We were actually on holiday during most of the miscarriage, and that was not expected, but ended up being a blessing. It wasn't really a waste of vacation time, but there were some good family moments and rest and beautiful places. And during the actual labor, we were at pastor's camp. And Ellie's mom, actually, who I didn't know, her name's Iris Lee, she's a nurse. And she just kind of kept watch over me. You don't really need medical care for most miscarriages, but it was just so nice and reassuring to have a capable, kind, godly person checking in on me every so often to see how I was doing. Just an unexpected blessing and provision of the Lord, and there were people praying for me. God's grace was so evident, and his promises that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we have received from God. So by no means do I believe that he caused it to happen so that we could bless others. However, he has helped us, he will help us, to pass on the wisdom, to pass on the comfort we've received to the many other people around us who have miscarried, to help us to listen better, I hope, to pray more specifically. God carries us through suffering. So going back to this passage in Romans 8, if we zoom out, our whole life, this whole world is actually like a woman in labor. That's what the scripture's saying. In the middle of birth, it's really hard for the mother and for the stricken father looking on helplessly to imagine that this shocking pain and rending of her body could ever actually be worth it. And yet, when that baby is placed on her chest, the joy far outweighs the suffering. That's how we will feel in the new creation when God fully reveals himself and restores this world. Which leads us to the final point of this sermon, which is a simple and beautiful one. God rejoices over every birth and new birth. So let's read this passage together from Luke 15, 8 through 10. This is a short parable that Jesus tells. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So God rejoices over every birth and new birth. So the birth of our first child, Anya, had to be medically induced, and it was long and arduous, just another euphemism to add to the list. During early labor, we read aloud Psalm 91, "She who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Mighty." Later in labor, I felt barely conscious of my surroundings, just completely enveloped in the work and the pain. An album of psalms we had playing was floating in and out of my spirit. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And the Lord, short story, delivered me and Anya with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, just as he brought the people of Israel through the water of the Red Sea in the Exodus. So my mom was there for the birth, and if you've met her, you know she's a pretty practical, sensible person. But she's still overcome with emotion as she tells the story of what it was like moments after this birth. It's really hard for her to put into words just the sacredness and the joy of the scene of Anya's first minutes in the world. And she says it this way. She says, it was early in the morning, this quiet hospital, and the lights in the room were low with just a single light over the baby. And the nurses and the grandmother and the auntie were looking on as we, the father and the mother, greeted and examined our baby with wonder and joy. In this birth, even the medical professionals were especially astonished and in awe because Anya was born in her waters, which is really very rare and very cool. So even for them, it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, just really added to the silence, the holy stillness in the room. But God rejoices like this after every birth. Many of you know, if I've shared with you, my kids watch the preschool show Daniel Tiger, and some of you are tired of hearing about it because I really love it. But while I limit screen time, I use the show as a babysitter, so I don't really watch it with them. But they know I love the episode when Daniel's little sister Margaret is born. So, you know, there's a whole episode, like he's waiting for the baby to come, and he's with his grandpa, and then he gets to come and see mom and the baby. So the kids, they'll call me into the room for this scene when he meets his sister because they like that it makes me cry. And it's a cartoon! But birth is still so spectacular that even a kid's show can convey the wonder and the joy of a new life. So even better, probably, is the video we have of Anya and Amos when they first met Junia. So they were waiting outside when we drove up in the van, and they were just shouting, "The baby is coming! The baby is coming!" And we take her out of her car, we take her in the car seat, just set her on the ground, and they're just mesmerized by her. And we just got to see Tally and Israel in the first days after Max was born to Thomas and Ellie. It's just their supernatural awe and wonder as they stared at him. And Tally, she'll just sit with him for long periods of time. She's 4 years old, and she'll just sit and stare at him and kiss him and hold him. And I know as we feel these emotions that we're partaking in just the tiniest part of how God feels about every single birth of every single child in every single circumstance, whether planned or unplanned by the parents, born with complications, born completely healthy, celebrated or not celebrated, over every birth, over every new child, God rejoices with singing. And even more so when we are born again. So if you're not familiar, in the Bible, in John 3, Jesus describes the experience of coming to God as being born a second time. He says, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And this phrase, which comes in other parts of Scripture as well, it conveys the radical change that happens to our identity when we submit to Jesus as Lord. We don't just take on this relationship with God as a separate category. So I place this here, and then here's my work, and here's my family, and here's my entertainment. As John Piper explains, I like how he says this here, we don't slowly become more spiritual. Before we are born again, we are spiritually unborn, and we need life. We don't need more religious activities. We don't need more religious zeal. We don't need more good deeds. We need life. We need more than just interest in Jesus or respect for Jesus. We need an actual experience, a dramatic change in ourselves that changes everything. So in Piper's words, he says, God, the Holy Spirit, must come upon you and bring new life into existence. And in Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. And our passage we read from Luke says, there's rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. So Billy Graham, who saw a lot of sinners repent, says, why do they rejoice? Not because they're surprised, but because a great victory has been won. Someone has been snatched from the jaws of Satan and death and hell, so why wouldn't all heaven rejoice? Jesus' words remind us how valuable we are to God. It's so cool to think that, just the way we would feel at a birth, the angels watch in amazement and worship of God when one person comes to Christ. God rejoices over every birth and new birth. I think it's fitting to close with a triumphant passage from 1 Peter chapter 1. In this case, I am actually going to ask you to stand, and let's read the whole thing together. So this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 23. Let's read it triumphantly. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. You can remain standing. The band is going to come up and we're going to sing.